Good morning, Mr. Jeff. K2PCB here.
KC2NVM. Good morning. Good morning, Travis.
So you just connected to me, which is going to... Because I haven't connected to Ross yet. So give me a second. Let me connect to him. I think if I do it the way I normally would, it would probably boot you off. Because it drops all connections except for my hub. And then brings you back in. But let me connect here. 1 second. All right, K2PCB, we are connected.
As far as I could tell, I did not get dropped. I haven't done anything other than just sit here and look pretty.
No, it really depends on how I do it. I try to do it early. Sometimes I'll even connect before I leave the house. So the way it's configured is my home node connects to a hub. And my truck always connects to the hub. It's like the central connection point. That always stays connected. So that way when I connect in with my truck, no matter what I change on my main node, it doesn't drop me because I'm connected to the hub. So when I redirect my main node, I disconnect all connections except for the hub. So I could have one person connected, could have five people connected to the hub, and it won't drop them. I don't know if you can actually, because you're coming in through Echolink, you cannot connect to my hub. I could fix that. I could move the Echolink access from the main node to the hub. That way, if I redirect, you don't get dropped. That might be a smart thing to do. I'll have to look into that at some point. But yeah, like I said, when I want to channel steer, I drop everyone except for the hub and then connect out, but you're connected to where you would get dropped. So that may have actually happened to you before if you've seen, or, you know, if your connection has gotten booted, especially at the beginning of our trip here.
Okay. I'm unfamiliar enough to where I can't figure it out. Hey, at Radio Club last night, one of the guys, Dennis Schultz, he's a club member. He's part of doing the build your node kind of thing. And he went a completely different route to where he had a really, really small, like a 5x5 Dell computer. And then... there was a separate box that some guy custom builds according to what radio and what computer you have. But he bought it as a kit, and both pieces are broken. And Steve Petrowski was there last night, and they picked up the square Dell computer and shake it, and you can hear rattling. One of the pots that controls the mic volume, I guess, decided to disintegrate.
Oh, that's awesome. Not really. Damage to the point of no return?
Yes. Dennis the Menace, we call him. He's the guy that chases after the new shiny radio, and he was obsessed with the Yaesu Optima and had three different stores going after it. It was just a big shiny mess. But he has a tendency to just break things or have bad luck to where everything he buys is just shit. Because all he does is spend money on stuff. He's not really like a fixer or stuff. He's a breaker. And just thinks that if you just pour more money at it, it's better. Nice enough guy, though. But still, he gets picked on. A lot.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. You kind of would hope that after all of this, you know, I don't want to say malicious tinkering, but misguided or I say ignorant, but I mean it in the unknowing way, and causing things to break or to use them incorrectly, You would think after some time he'd start to learn and pick up on things and actually start to, you know, do a little more technical sort of analysis and fix and or replace things as needed.
Yeah, this was the guy that went to Winter Field Day and borrowed somebody's antenna because he didn't want to set up his chameleon in the cold, in the weather, and didn't have an antenna tuner, and Steve handed him the same cord running through tuner.
With the right antenna, so long as you, you know where you're going to operate, you don't necessarily need a tuner. It does limit where you can operate because it's going to be narrow banded in spots, but it's an idea. Oh, here, 1 second. I'm going to grab this call. KC2PCP.
KC2NVM. This is KC2GDQ. How are you this morning?
Pretty good. A little cold, but as expected, it's February in Western New York. Welcome to Radio Club last night. It was quite the nerd fest going on.
Yeah, well, thank you. Yes, it was. I did enjoy myself. I did learn a lot. Met some new people. It probably won't be the last time I'm there. Definitely plan on coming back again next week. Yeah, there was a lot going on. Was that busier than usual?
A little bit. But it's kind of average, but maybe just like 10 more people than normal. But last week, only 4 people were there when I got there because I had a wrestling thing with Sophie. But the weather wasn't all that great. But when the weather's wonderful, the places can be quite packed. And just everything's going on in one room, another thing going on in the kitchen, another thing in the radio room, another repair room. There's just people everywhere. But it was a good turnout. And I figured a couple of things out with some of the stuff that I had just gotten. And I'm very, very happy. And kind of glad I went because I was a little inspired. And I figured out that if you go to an old version of firmware on something, if the new one didn't work, but the old one did, that made all the difference.
Yeah, there was definitely a lot of computer stuff going on in that room that we were in. I guess that's the training room, maybe. A lot of people working on their computer stuff. It was amazing. And there was the one gentleman, I think his name was Bill. He was the sniper. What was his last name?
I think Bill Morris. That comes to mind. He was Buffalo Police. This is like the second or third time I've seen him at the club. Nice enough guy, likes to tinker, and it was nice.
Yeah, he was there the night that I took my general, and he took his general, and we both passed, obviously. But yeah, he was there that night. That was the first time I'd met him, so it was kind of neat to go back the next week and see him and talk to him again in a little more detail. So definitely be back again.
And yeah, I think you were talking to Scott, Scott Brun. He's on like the repeater committee. He's been there a long time. Back when I first started going in like 2010, 2011, he was there and I remember him from way back. And he is a very knowledgeable guy.
Antennas, and he gave me some good ideas for putting up an antenna in my attic. And there was another guy that I was talking to at the same time, and I didn't catch his name.
A lot of guys, like, yeah, I don't know their name, but they have a call sign, or you know their call sign if you don't know their real name. And so, yeah, it can get confusing because everybody kind of says, hey, I'm Jeff, PC2NVM. You kind of sometimes miss both.
Yeah, a couple people introduced themselves to me. Only a couple people gave me their call sign, and I got to thinking last night on the way home, I said, oh, geez, I should have introduced myself, you know, Brad, I'm KE2GDQ, so that they would, so if I put out the call sign, they might remember that.
And are you an official member of the club? I know you took your exam, and they do offer the one-year free membership. If you, I think, I don't know if you have to fill out any paperwork for that, but you could have them make you a name tag, the red ones with your call sign and your name and all, but they'll do that for you.
Yes, I am an official member. When I took my technician's test last year, they said, well, you know, just fill it out and be a new ham. And then when January rolled around, or December, January, and on their newsletter, when it said, the email newsletter, they said dues was due. I went on the website and paid my dues. So, yes, I am an official member of W2SO Club.
Nice. There's a sign-up sheet by the kitchen on the wall, kind of like where that old radio-looking thing is, to get a call sign name tag. So go ahead and do that, and then you can have one of those.
Okay, I will do that next week when I'm in. I will get a name tag so people will know my call sign. There was another gentleman, I think his name was Joe. I missed the prefix of his call sign, but it's BYN, and I know he always says, you know, BYN, be your neighbor, and I can't remember the beginning of his call sign, but I think his name was Joe.
Short guy, glasses, very Italian looking.
Yes, you described him pretty well.
Yeah, we're friends on Facebook. I don't remember his last name or his call sign. But, yeah, he gets around. He does a lot of stuff. He's very active with the club and then out in the neighborhood. Does a lot of things. And, oh, Travis just got here. So how did I meet Travis? Unless he stopped for coffee.
Yeah, I was wondering if you guys got started late this morning because usually I... Travis is around 6:22, 6:23, and it was 6:25, and I didn't hear a call sign from anybody, so that's why I put out the call, KE2GDQ.
Yeah, Travis and I were talking, and he got a phone call, and then he popped out, and don't see his lips moving, but he's parked next to me. He just kind of, now he's staring at me, very creepily.
Yeah, I'm back in here. You may not have heard it right away because I didn't connect to Ross's node at first this morning. Brad, in fact, I started my route and then I heard Jeff connect into my node. So then as I was cruising along, I had to connect into Ross and it'd make the link for everyone. But you probably missed our very, very initial call-outs this morning. But to you, Jeff. You said there was a Morse. Was it Morse like Morse code or Morris like the cat?
Morris, as in, I think, Morris code. Bill Morris. He's a retired Buffalo cop. He was on SWAT team. And he's joined the club.
I would love to ask him if he's in any way related to a Dick Morris. Who used to be at the club 25 years ago. Really, really, really nice guy. Unfortunately, he has since passed. But he used to, you know, catch me when I was over there at the club meetings, and we'd talk about some of the latest, you know, technologies, and he used to even sometimes clip articles from magazines and save them for me or send them to me. He was an extremely personal guy. I miss seeing him around. I wonder if they're in any way related.
Well, Bill, that was there last night, happens to be a black gentleman. Not that makes a difference, but
Okay, so if it's a link, it's not a blood link. Okay. He was very not, this guy I knew, let's put it that way. Anyways, good morning. And my last question before I steal it all here. Were there any HF rigs sitting on the shelf over there for sale that were cheaper than you could get anywhere else?
I don't believe there were any HF rigs anywhere in the building other than the ones that pulled them.
Yeah, I didn't remember seeing anyone. The only radios that I saw were the Bofang that Chet gave to Bill. That was the only radios that I saw there last night.
Oh, you guys were both there last night.
That is affirmative.
Brad ended up talking to Scott Thrun for a bit, and they were talking antennas and covert kind of stuff. It's kind of nice. I've always liked Scott. He's been a longtime member.
Yeah, Scott was, Scott's been there a long, long time. I tell you, he's one of the first members of the club that I actually met when I started going there, back in like 2000, 2001. Yep.
So, Brad's now kind of hooked. He kind of saw, ooh, this is kind of nice. And met some people, talked antennas. As far as I can tell, you had a good time. I was kind of knee-deep in a couple different little things. But I did figure out that if I use an older version of the firmware on one of my toys, it works better.
Oh, yeah, just because the new firmware came out to support a new feature doesn't mean it correctly supports all the old ones. Sometimes they can break things. Yeah, especially with a 3D printer. Marlin is not very user-friendly. You really have to be very careful in the source code. I've broken that a couple times. Well, I've got 6:45, so as usual, I'm going to sign with you guys and wish you a good morning. I'll head on in and say hi to Ross in there at some point, and I'll talk to you guys soon. This is the K2PCB.
73s, KC2, NVM, clear. Good night, everyone.